So all the parshiyos that we're doing now, from Truma until the end of Shmos, just about every part is about Kiddush HaKohuna, and the Kelim, and the Mizbeach, and the Korbanos, and the Avoda. And I wanted to talk in a more contemporary context about the status of Kohen in Bizman HaZeh. You know, what is the status of a Kohen? Because, as you'll see in the first paragraph, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to be makariv elov es Aaron ves bonov mitoch bnei Yisrael lechano li, that these would be the kohanim that would serve b'lekavod u'sefaras, and there'll be bigvei kahuna, and they will serve in the mishkan, and the entire process of kiddush hakohen. And as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshech the Kohanim, Aaron HaKohen, B'Shem and HaMishcha, and he was Malbish the B'nai Aaron with Bigvei Kohuna. And this means that the Kohanim have a very special status. They are the Avdei Hashem. They are dedicated to the Avod of the Karbonos. And they have an obligation to be very careful not to marry a Grusha, not to marry a zona, all the dinim, not to be mitami lemesim, special mitzvahs that apply to the kohen. And not only that, we have a mitzvah v'kidashto to treat the kohenim with kavod. And therefore, when we give an aliyah first to a kohen. We give the matanos to the kohenim, the matnos kahuna. What we want to discuss today is the status of kohenim today. Back in the day, when the Migdash stood, it was very easy to trace the lineage of the Kohanim back to someone who served on the Mizbeach, and that itself was proof positive that the person was a Kohen Miyuchas. And that's codified by the Mishnah in Kiddushin Daf Nun Vav. But after the Churban HaBayis, when Klal Yisrael are spread out throughout the Golus, we can no longer check the ancestry and which Kohen today can trace himself back to the Mizbeach and say that my great-great-great-grandfather served on the Mizbeach. And now the Mishpachos of Kuna are separated, are spread throughout the four corners of the world. And therefore, how do we know what Shevet a person is from? Like, for example, myself, I think, I'm not sure, that I'm from Shevet Yehuda. That's what my father told me. I forget exactly how he knew it, but somehow he had some lineage that traced him back to Rashi. Rashi, we know, was from Shevet Yehuda. Fine. But even so, that's not reliable proof. And the question is, we ask today, Mi Yehudi, who's a Jew? But we also have to ask, who's a Kohen? Do we treat every person who presents himself as a Kohen as a Safek? Or do we give him the status of Kohuna Bevadai? And we'll soon see that this is very relevant to the mitzvah pidyon haben. I want to be poda to my son. Maybe I have a right to demand the money back when I give him the 5 slum, because he can't prove to me that he's a Kohen.
Well, once you give it to him, he wants him to put it all
around. Yeah, well, maybe he's muchzak, you mean. Now he's a muchzak.
Now he's all in his mind.
Yeah, but the only thing is, if he's muchzak, he has to make a tfis on it. I mean, he has to claim, I know it's mine, but I don't even know if the Kohen could claim I know it's mine. So what's the deal with our Kohenim today? You know, we generally assume that a Kohen today is what's called muchzak. In other words, the Torah works, operates with chazakas. What's a chazaka? A chazaka is an assumption. Like, for example, you saw the nega on one day, and it was complete, and therefore it was mitami. We don't assume in the next couple of days it went down enough so that it's no longer mitami. You saw mikvah, and you checked it out, it had arbaim sah. So we have right to assume, until we know otherwise, that the mikvah is kosher. And all of halacha is predicated on chazakas. But usually the chazaka can trace itself back to some moment of certainty, of vadai, of vados. In the case of the Cheskas Kohuna, do we have one moment in time where we know that this Kohen was definitely a Kohen, or his grandfather was a Kohen? You know the joke about how much did you pay to become a Kohen? So if you take a look on page 2, which is the flip side of page 1, the Gemara establishes in Asar Yuchsin, which deals with two types of Yuchsin. First of all, Yuchsin for Kohol, and secondly, Yuchsin for Kohuna. The Gemara says that ain bodkim min hamizbeach lemala. In other words, once we can establish that someone had an ancestor, father after father, son after father, that he served on the mizbeach, that's enough. We don't have to go beyond that. We just have to find one link to the Mizbeach. So if you have Eidus on a particular Kohen that his great-great-grandfather served as a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, then that is enough. Okay, there's another halacha of Sanhedrin, that's not for us now. Oh, so the Rambam, does anybody know, okay, if you're not looking at the page, I can ask you this question. Where does the Rambam codify all the halachas of Kahuna, of who's considered a Kohen, who's not? So he combines them with all the dinim of Kahal, of who can enter into the Kahal Yisrael in Isurei Bia. And he dedicates the 20th parak of Isurei Bia to the concept of a Kohen, Ezu Kohen Miyuchas, which Kohen can claim that he has... What did he say?
Sounds like they want me.
Oh, okay. I apologize for coming late today. I didn't have parking, so I drayed around for literally 25 minutes till I finally found a space. At one point, I was so desperate, I parked in a place that was illegal, and immediately a cop comes by. What does the Rambam say in Perek Chaf Milchus Yisuri Bia? He says, Ezu Kohen Miyuchas, Kol Shehi Idulo Shnei Edim, two witnesses testify, Shehu Kohen Ben Ploni HaKohen, Uploni Ben Ploni HaKohen, Ad Ish Asher Eino Tzorach B'dikav U'Kohen Sheshimesh Agabi Mizbeach. So back in the day, we can trace our lineage to some Kohen that served on the Mizbeach. Because back in the time of Sanhedrin that sat in the Lishka Sagoz, the Beis HaMikdash, they would check a person to make sure that he could serve as a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. And they would check to make sure that he can trace his lineage to some ancestor that served on the Mizbeach. And lefichach, since this was under the supervision of the Bez Nagol, the Sanhedrin Agdola, ein bod kimi ha-mizbeach lamala. There's no need to go beyond that. She'ein memanin b'sanhedrin al-konim levim Yisrael miyuchasim. Okay, that's all at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But now, what about today? We cannot trace our lineage back to the Beis HaMikdash, back to the time that Sanhedrin would supervise. Is the Rambam says that our Kohanim today are called Kohanei Chazaka. And that's the language of the Rambam. Kol HaKohanim Bizman HaZeh B'Chazaka Heim Kohanim. It means they have a certain Chazaka that they were Kohanim. Well, I don't know what that Chazaka is based on. If you can't trace yourself back to the Mizbeach, to the Avodah, so what is the basis for your Chazaka Bizman HaZeh? Is it the fact that you Duchen? Is it the fact that your father Duchen? Is it the fact that you claim you're a Kohen? Or your father claimed he was a Kohen? Your grandfather claimed he was a Kohen? Is it the fact that we go to the cemetery and we see that in the burial site of your grandfather, there's a matzeva there with a picture of two hands that are spread out? You know the famous story, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik was Makariv someone to Yiddishkeit, and he became a very close disciple of Rav Soloveitchik. The guy went through tremendous Mesiras Nefesh to become a Jew, an observant Jew. And now he wanted to get married. So he meets a girl. And it turns out that this girl was a convert to Judaism. And the wedding was set because her conversion was Kedasu Kedin. And there's a minute that before you get married, you go to the Beis HaKvaris. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Yeah, you visit that was the way I was brought up. Anyway,
so I'm afraid that I'll go there and find out I'm a Kohen.
Oh,
and get married.
Yeah, but your wife is not a Gioris, so
no, but you know, low plug.
Low plug. So that's exactly what happened in this case. He went to his matzeva, his father's matzeva, his grandfather's matzeva. I don't remember all the details, and he found out that he's a Kohen. And the Rav had the pleasant job of telling him, no, he was not a Kohen. He was a born Jew, but he was a Baal Tshuva. The Rav was Makarivim. What I meant by Makarivim was made him into Baal Tshuva. Now she was a Gioris, and he was about to marry this girl. And this was his love of his life, and his first opportunity to get married, as a frum Jew. And this is what he waited for, Shalom Aleichem. And sure enough, he finds out he's a Kohen. So the Rav had the unpleasant job to tell him as his disciple that he couldn't marry this woman. And this we call, Mesiras Nefesh V'Torah. He accepted it's the week before his wedding. They canceled the wedding. Unbelievable. But the Rambam says that every kohen today is becheskes shem kohanim. Now, when the Rambam uses the word kohanim shel chazaka, he implies, l'chora, that that's a vadai. Every chazaka is considered a vadai. And if you have any doubts about that, the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushah Daf Pei, one of the most famous sugyas in Shas, soklin v'sarfin al chazakas. Now, sarfin means that if we have a chazaka that we assume such and such a piece of bread is tameh, we have to burn it. That's not such a big deal. But soklin al chazakas means that how do we know that you are the son of your father? We don't have any way of knowing that. I mean, maybe today you have DNA testing, but I don't know if the halacha relies on DNA testing. No. I don't know. I have an article on that if you want to read it. But be that as it may, back in the day, how did they decide a person, he wounds his father, chas v'shalom. That's a chiv misa. What do you say? Or curses his father. How do you know it's your father? So the Gemara says chazok. And the chazaka is that she had relations with this man that she's living with as her husband. She didn't have relations with anyone else. And that creates a vaday, soklin on the chazaka. Based on that chazaka, we can put someone to death in a court of law. So therefore, it's fair to assume, until we see the Mavid. The Mavid wrote a super commentary on the Rambam called the Kiryas Sefer. And until we see the Mavid, we have reason to believe that you don't even have to blink here. If the Rambam says that kol ha-kohanim b'zman hazeh b'cheskas shem kohanim, that means vaday. So when I give the kohen my 5 slime to be poured to my son, I don't even have a hava mean of asking for that money back. If the kohen wants to give it back to me, we have to see why he does. That's on his own initiative, and it becomes a gift. But the kohen collects the 5 slime, and it's his because it's a chazaka. Soklin al chazakas. It's a vaday. I don't know why the Mabit has to go out of his way to point this out. The Mabit writes, he was perhaps the, besides the Kesef Mishnah, the greatest super commentary on the Rambam. He writes, Afilu bizman hazeh, kol misha huksaka mishpachto bekuna. There's an assumption that we have that this mishpach is mishpachas kohanim. The low coral of Irur, we never found anyone with a disclaimer saying, oh no, they're not really kohanim. Is who kohen l'chol advarim? The Mahanyalech has Kosam in a Torah, Vafil Emili Doraisis. As far as the Torah is concerned, we recognize him and all the members of this family as Kohanim. And he brings a raya from Pidgin Aben. How do we have the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben in our time? It must be that we rely on Cheskas Kuhuna to be Makayim a mitzvah Doraisa of Pidgin Aben, and the money goes to the Kohen. And basically, the Mabit says that when the Rambam establishes our Kohanim as Cheskas Kuhuna, it's Vadai and it's not a Sof.
Yeah, but let's say if the din would have been that it's not a vaday, but it's a sadaka, we would still have to do pidyon haben just in
Torah Sofer.
So how is that a raya? Right.
Yeah, but he wants to assume that we're not being mekayim this mitzvah as a sofek. You know, he doesn't assume we have rights to get the money back, or. He assumes that this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, pidyon haben. Now, those who argue with the Mabit, as we'll soon see, they want to claim that it's just a chumrah. Right. Today, I don't know if you know Rav Shabtai Rappaport, for example. You know, he claims that he has documents that go all the way back, and he's a kohen miyuchas. So therefore, if you, you know, next time you do a pidyon haben, you'll probably want to get in touch with him.
Ladies,
oh, okay. But maybe somebody in your greater family, you know, wants to find the Kohen Miyuchas. They say about the Vilna Gaon that he was a Bukhar. And he spent his whole life looking for a Kohen Miyuchas. And every time he found the Kohen, he was poed himself. Just in case, you know. So who argues with this Mabit? Okay? And you'll see in the paragraph that starts me negative, which is the last paragraph in this section, he says that it's not absolutely clear from the Rambam that the Rambam means vaday. Why? Because the Rambam says, Osur lekonim v'zman hazeh lechol truma doraisa. Okay? Now, this isn't so relevant to truma because I don't know when you met the last guy who was mafresh truma and gave it to a kohen to eat, but it's very relevant to another mitzvah which is similar to truma, and that's what? Challah. So what do we do with mafresh challah?
Why not truma?
I don't know. You actually give truma? I didn't know. Oh, okay.
No, I can't give it to the kohen because I've done it.
But it could be the challah you could give to a kohen. We'll soon see in a minute.
Are you allowed to eat the tumah?
Well, we'll speak. I don't want to give away all the beans, but a better katan, the kohen katan, who's not tummy. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, what does the Rambam say about giving truma to a kohen bizman hazeh? He says the following. Asur lekohen bizman hazeh lechol truma doraisa, but achilas truma derabbanan hutru lehem. Now, why would we allow truma derabbanan, let's say truma sirakos, for the kohen to eat it? I mean, you don't know if he's a kohen or not. And even if he's a katan, then he's not, there's no issue of tuma, but how do you know he's a kohen? So apparently the Rambam is approaching the issue of eating truma from two different perspectives. One is safek doraisa lechumra, and that's applicable in the case of truma doraisa. The other is safek derabbanan lekula in the case of achilas truma derabbanan. And it's not the Rambam's own chiddush. The Rambam bases himself on a Gemara in Ksuvis. And the Gemara says that if there's any pikpuk, is there any question about the yichus of the Kohen, then we don't want to give the truma doraisa. We can only say safek derabbanan and give the truma derabbanan. And the Mefarshim all want to claim that the fact that the Rambam distinguishes between truma doraisa and truma derabbanan as far as kohen bizman hazeh means that his chazaka is not the way we understood it, that it engenders a status of vadai to a kohen who's assumed to be a kohen based on chazaka. We have no error on his mishpacha. But rather, the Rambam is saying that he has a chazaka, meaning some sort of an assumption that allows us to give him truma in a case of safek. And the Mabit is very nervous about this because his position was that the Rambam says that kohen bizman hazeh v'chazaka, then the Rambam means that it's a din vadai. That's the Rambam's use of the term chazaka. So what is the Mabit going to do with the halacha of the Rambam? The Rambam says we don't give truma doraisa to a kohen bizman hazeh. Says the Mabit, in truth, our kohenim have the status of vadai kohenim. They're certainly kohenim. But there's a separate halach in truma. This is called Maila Asu B'Kodshim. That again, truma is also kodshim to some extent. I think we discussed this a few weeks ago. It's called kodshe gvul, and therefore the Chazal were machmir just in case there's some, let's say half a percentage point of possibility is not a kohen, and a zar shachal truma doraisa is chayav misa bidei shamayim. So it's a separate chumra in truma, that until we can be bodek his yichus back to the Beis HaMikdash, back to the Mizbeach, we will prohibit him from eating truma doraisa. Okay. So now we get to the bottom of page 2. Against the Mabit and his son, who wrote also a tshuva sefer, we have a whole slew of poskim who say that all our kohanim today are in safek. And this starts with the Mechaber himself in Halachas of Chala in Yeridei Siman Shein Kof Beis. Mitzvah Saseh Lafresh Truma Me'isa V'Litna LeKohen. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes a little bit further in that since our Kohenim today are Tmei Mesim and we don't have the Efer Parah Duma to be Metar them, therefore we don't give Chala to a Kohen, but rather we burn the Chala immediately after its hafrosha. That's only with regard to chalas Eretz Yisrael, but chalas Chutz Laretz, which is only derabbanan, okay, that's a sugya unto itself, is the Chachamim allowed the kohanim who aren't meim, okay, now you have to know about Tuma Yotze Migufa, which is called Keri, or a bas kohen if she's not a nida, or kohanim ktanim, you'll see on the bottom of page 2, or a kohen that goes to mikvah, in a kosher of mikvah, in all those cases, we can give him trumas chutz laretz.
What about the tumas mes?
Okay, tumas mes is not tumah yotze migufa, it has its own dinim. So we're talking now about the psul of truma to someone who has tumah yotze migufa, which is a kind of tumah that's subject to tara through mikvah. But that's only in chutz laretz. So the Mechaber writes...
That's what I'm difficult in understanding.
Give me just a minute just to flesh it out. I'm sorry, I can't answer all your questions. I want to get just the general picture here. He says, Imratza, this is the Mechaber, Imratza lahafrish chala achas, mafrish echad mimem ches, right, these are the matnas kuhuna, v'necheles lekatan Sha'adayin lo ra keri. Okay, now, the Mechaber here is a little bit unclear. He says to be mafrish the truma and give it to a katan, because he's not tameh. Does that apply to even truma d'oraisa in Eretz Yisrael? So on the Mechaber, the Ramah adds a comment. He says, yesh omrim. He says, kevon she'ein chal nechelus b'Yisrael. You know, the Mechaber certainly would agree that in Eretz Yisrael, where truma is d'oraisa, you cannot give the truma to a kohen. Is gam b'shar makomos, even in chutz laretz, he says, ein tzrichin lahafrish rachala achas ulesarfa. Now there's a minimum amount of challah. You don't have to give it a mina beinanis, which is 1 out of 50, and so on, 1 out of 40. The chena minig pashu b'chol makomos. And the shach comments, ein nogim loseis challah klal. In our time, we don't give challah at all, even to a katan. Mishum, for a whole other reason. Meaning the mechaber and the ramah solved the problem as far as what? As far as tumah v'tara is concerned. But says the Shach, there's a more fundamental reason why we can't give truma and challah to the kohanim bizman hazeh. He says the lo machzikinim bizman hazeh b'kohen vadai, meaning even if you convince yourself that he's tar, but nevertheless you can't convince yourself that he's actually a kohanim. He may be a zar. So Rabosai, what do we do in this case? On the one hand, we have the Mechaber and the Ramah who seem to assume that we can isolate the problem to what? To Tumah. If we could solve and circumvent the problem of Tumah, then we might as well give them Truma or Challah. And now we have the Shach who says that, wait a minute, the Mechaber and Ramah seem to have omitted a more fundamental issue. Is he a Kohen Bechlal? Yeah, go ahead. The floor is yours. I
don't understand why in Chutz La'aretz you're allowed to give there's a side that you can give the Truma because it's only Durabanan, you can give it to someone that doesn't have Tumas of Guf, but the Tumas Mesa didn't take care of that. That's far as I understand. Why would that cause the Namukit?
I owe you an answer to that question. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, that the issue of eating Truma is only as far as Tumah Yotzis Migufo, not Mago B'mes or Oel HaMes, but let me double check that. That's how I remember it. Again, I'm very rusty in Taurus. That's the truth.
Yeah.
All right. So it comes out like this, that according to the Shach, clearly there's no Kohen Vadai B'zman HaZeh. And when you look in Aruch Chaim, Siman Tof Nun Zayin, with regard to the laws of Duchanin, the Ramah seems to assume that in Chutz Laretz you can give challah to a katan, a kohen katan, because you've solved the problem of tumah. We're not going to go as far as giving him a total of ados. We saw in the Rambam already that in Truma Doraisa we're not going to give to a kohen muchzak, but that's a chumrah in Truma Doraisa that doesn't apply to Trumas Chutz Laretz, or in this case Chalas Chutz Laretz, and therefore all we have to do, according to the Ramah, is to solve the problem of what? Of Tuma Vitara. However, the Marshal, right, his name was Rav Shlomo Luria, he lived about 5 centuries ago, almost a contemporary of the Ramah, and he writes in his famous Chidushim, the Yam Shel Shlomo, in Masechta Bava Kama, he says, Me'acher shavanoseinu harabim, ein lanu hayichus. We have no way of determining the ancestry of the Kohen, Kamo Shoya, as it were, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, or even slightly after the Churban HaBayis, at the time of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, which is a good couple of centuries, but they were able to trace their lineage. The Hoyu Adayin, that back in the day, they were Nisharim Bechumos Ubitaros. They had a system of supervision to guarantee that only a Kohen Miyuchas would receive Truma and eat a Bitaro. Vahayakarov Mimea Bais, and they can trace a lineage and the ancestry back to the Bais. Vadain Hoyuchsein Biodeyem, they had Shtaros, and they could trace their lineage. Ubavanosena, but in our time, this is already 5 centuries ago, at the time the Marshal, Meirov, Arichas, Hagolos, Ugzeris, Vigerishin, Isbalbulu, everything is all confused. Halavai, Shalo Yehain, Isbalbil, Zerakodesh, Bechol. He says, let's hope that we're not marrying out of the religion. He says, Halavai, we can trace that. Amal Zerakonim, Velevium, He says all the Levim and the Kohanim were mixed up together with the Yisraelim, is Balbalu. And therefore he says there's no Kohen today who could actually trace his lineage bevados. Mishum hachi nagu etnushol mitnu chala loliten chala af lekohen katan o kohen shetovel kiriyav. You've solved the problem of tuma, but we're not going to give him chala because we don't know if he's a kohen. Mishum delomach zekine bezman hazeh lekohen vaday. Now I would like to assume that the reality that the Marshal is describing is true even for the Rambam. Even back in the time of the Rambam, which is going back four or five centuries earlier, nevertheless, they couldn't trace their Kohanim back, you know, like they could do at the time of the Tanoim of the Amoraim. And therefore, I don't know, according to the Rambam, would we be allowed, at least as far as Truma Derabbanan or Chalas Chutzlarts, to give it to a Kohen Katan or a Kohen Shetovel who we know is Tahar? I don't know. According to the Mabit, the Rambam holds that there's a Chazaka and it's Betoris Vadai. But now we have an evidence of many, many poskim, including the Shach and the Yamshel Shlomo the Marshal, against that position. We don't know exactly what the Rambam's position would be. He uses the term chazaka, but does he mean vadai, that every Kohen is certainly a Kohen? And that's the way the Mabit understood him. What does he mean? No. Every Kohen, we could assume he's a Kohen, but we don't know for sure that he's a Kohen. So what I want to do is, if you have 5 more minutes, just to quickly summarize the next piece. Okay, you have to go?
Yeah.
Like, do you want to... Okay. So let's just ask the question, if we assume, according to that second approach, the Shach and the Marshal, that our Kohanim today are doubtful, then let's ask the question, how do you create a Chazak? And when it comes to a person's personal status, for example, to work in the Mikdash, or to recite the Bracha and Duchen, we ask the question, how does that chazaka evolve? I mean, again, in our time, we do have birchas kohanim, so we have to know about this chazaka. Also, it's relevant to the mitzvah of vikidashto, that we have to give preferential treatment to the kohanim. How do we know a person is a kohen? If we want to give them gifts, Matnas Kuhuna, how do we know he's a Kohen? So what is the status of Chazak? So as we said before, at the time of the Mikdash, it was clear there were two Edim that testified that he had ancestors that served in the Beis HaMikdash. And that was ample proof. And we said that after the destruction and the calamities and so forth, the spreading of families and the intermingling of Kohanim and Yisraelim, we don't know. We don't have family tree, so to speak. So we don't know who exactly is a Kohen. How do we verify that a person is a Kohen? And if we cannot verify, and he has the status of a Safek Kohen, as we saw in the Shach and the Marshal before the Shach, how do we treat him? How does the Safek apply to the case of a Kohen? Okay. So this concept of Chazaka should be understood perhaps in the following light. There's a Magen Avraham that I wanted to share with you, which you'll find here on the left column, sort of in the middle of the page. And the Magen Avraham, and we'll soon see how the Mishnah Berurah amplifies it, writes that how could it be that the halacha, which is established by the Gemara in Mordechai and Chaf Ches, that we have to be makdim in the Kohen for every Dovash of Kedusha, the Kidashto, the Brisa says, L'chol Dovash of Kedusha, he has to open first, he has to be Mavarech first, he gets the first portion of a pas at a Suda, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and before him in the tour in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Aleph. And there's a Tanaya, there's a condition that we're not talking about a Kohen Amoritz, we're talking about a Kohen who's a Talmud Chacham, And it seems that the minhag ha'olam is that we're not so makvid on this halach. And he writes, Tzorach Iyun, Loma ain't nizharan akshav lahaktim ha'koin l'chol mili. Maybe in Aliyas we give him in brachos, but not in everything. And he says, Yesh lizar bazeh me'achar shemidoraisah. I mean, this is a mitzvah doraisa v'kidashto, and it seems that the minhag ha'olam was to be a little bit lax and more laid back about it. And we weren't giving the Kohen the first in everything, including the pasuk v'suda. He says, v'efshar, perhaps the answer is, the ein anu b'kiyam b'yuchsei ha'kohenim. Basically, the Magen Avraham is establishing something that we saw before in the Shach. And the answer is that we cannot actually be clear about the status of the Kohanim. We're not certain of the lineage of the Kohanim. And I want to add something else over here, which is on the top of your left column. And let's say, for example, you don't have any information, really inside scoop, about this Kohen. His last name is Cohen, or Katz, or any other names that indicate Kahuna. And the question is, can we rely on that? Would that create a chazaka? And it seems that the poskim in our time, starting with the Shevet HaLevi and all the way down, they assume that you cannot be machzik a Cohen for Yuchsin based on a name. You need a solid evidence, according to Halacha, to be machzik a Cohen as a Cohen. So the name Kohen maybe can generate a chash, perhaps he's a Kohen, but nothing more than that. Now, I mentioned before that the Mishnah Brura has a comment on this Magen Avraham that we quoted before, and this Mishnah Brura is in the same Siman that we mentioned in Or Chaim Siman Reish Aleph. He writes, Yesh lahakbid al kach lechatchila, that we really lechatchila should be careful to be makdim the Kohenim. And that's because we're dealing with the mitzvah d'oraisa of a kiddashta. And the Magen Avraham, but it's even clearer in the Mishnah Brura, spells this out, says that even if our konim are a suffolk, because we're not bikiyim and we don't have any certainty about the lineage of konim, nevertheless, we should still be machmir al suffolk, and we should honor the konim. We should be absolutely meticulous about practicing this mitzvah and implementing this mitzvah of kiddush, so to give the Kohen the honor that he deserves as a Kohen. But you'll see a section here called Psulei Chitun LeKohanim. And this is, of course, we know that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, he's not allowed to marry a Zona, he's not allowed to marry a Gioris. And there's a Tshuva in Eben Ezer of the Marash Dam, the case of a woman who is a shvuya, she was taken captive by the goyim, and one other woman who was also there at the time testifies that she heard that this woman was tahora, meaning she was never subject to any sort of rape, any sort of intercourse with a goy. And the Marshal wants to know if this woman that we're talking about can now marry a kohen, and he says that the din, the isa shvuya to a kohen, is only mirabbanan. The rabbanan were choshesh that she had beer with a guy. And he says, "Kevin she nishbeis bein ha'akum ve'im prutzim barayos kulano edim she nivala." Rashi in Ksuvus assumes that in the case of a shvuya, we there's an assumption in the halach that she had be'ila with the guy. And if that be the case, do we rely on some sort of flimsy kind of edus that she heard that this woman was tahora and she was not subject to this bi'ilah? So in the tshuva, the Marash Dam says the following. There is a suffolk, whether or not we can rely on this edus of the woman who says that she heard from another shvuya that this woman was lo nitme, she was tahora. And we cannot rely on this edus, this very, very flimsy edus, to be matir ha to Kohen. However, if we can find, in addition to this shikul of relying on the aid, which is very unreliable, shall we say, we can find a tziruf of some other suffek, then maybe we could be matir ha. And he's mitzarif the suffek of Cheskas Kahuna, that we don't know in this time that the Kohanim are definitely Kohanim. We cannot clarify beyond a shadow of a doubt their status and their lineage, and therefore we have another suffix. And at the end of the day, adding this suffix to the fact that maybe we could rely on this flimsy evidence, the Marsham is mater this woman to marry a Kohen. And it's fascinating that in the tshuva itself, he relies heavily on the Rivash. The Rivash, about 600 years ago or more, was one of the most authoritative final decisors in Eben Ezer with regard to Yuchsin. And the Rivash writes, Kohanim bizmanenu enom kohanim vadai. So this is fascinating, because what we saw in some of the early Achronim, in the Shach and so forth, now we're seeing it in the late Rishonim. So we're really going back to the Rishonim. And therefore the Marashdam, based on this find, you know, this discovery of the Rivash, he says, Me'achash Yisus Shvuya ain't al Yisum Drabbana. And the whole Yisus Shvuya is Drabbana that with Choshesh that she had Bila. We don't know for sure that the Akam was Bol. And number two, we have also this flimsy evidence that she was Tahora. On top of that, add to boot the fact that the Rivash writes, Kohanim Bizmanenu ain't om Kohanim Vadai. And therefore, we don't have to be Machmer, this Chumra, in a case. Oh, except in a case of a Vadei Isur, but here it's a Sofik Isur, because we don't know for sure he's a Kohen. Therefore, Yesh Lomar, Sofik Rabbanan, Lekula, we can make Hill in Sofik Shvuya, because Shvuya itself is only an Isur Rabbanan. A fantastic tshuva with a lot of love to see in the Marashdam, and tremendous practical ramifications, because the Marashdam is talking about an Isur Rabbanan, adding to that another Sofik if she, you know, if she's marrying a real Kohen. So we have one suffix if she was Nitmeis, another suffix if she is now being married off to a Kohen, because the status of Kohenim is besuffix. You have a Sfek Sfek, and therefore he was Matir. But I want to point out to you another tshuva, the Shvus Yaakov, at the beginning of Eben Ezer. He writes the following. After quoting the Marashdam, and he says that we should rely on the Marashdam, he says, "Ein kofim kohanim shenasa chalutza legarish." He wants to apply this same lumdish instruction framework to the case of a kohen v'zmanazeh who marries a chalutza. In other words, midaraisa, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, but he can marry a chalutza, meaning that this woman was married to Reuven. Reuven died and left her without children. Now she fell for Yibun to Shimon, Reuven's brother, and Shimon gave her a chalitza. So midrabbanan, they asked it almost like a grusha for her to marry a Kohen. But that's only an Issur d'Rabbanan. Add to that, the fact that Kohanim Bizman Hazeh, based on this Rivash, are not Kohanim Vadai. So we have a suffix there. So basically we have a suffix on an Issur d'Rabbanan. We would not have allowed this man, l'chatchil, this Kohen l'chatchil, to marry a chalitza. But if he went and he married a chalitza, then we're not going to force him and compel him to divorce her. We may want to convince him and be meshachnea him to divorce her, but we don't have teeth. You know, there's no teeth here to force him to divorce his wife. And that's what's going on here in this tshuva of the shvus Yaakov. So again, just to quote his language, he says, "Ein kofin kohen shenasa chalutza legarsha," and he goes on to explain why. Now, I'm not saying, I just want to point out for the record that the Shvus Yaakov does encourage persuading the kohen to divorce his wife. He goes on to say, but again, for this we have to learn sugyas and makas and elsewhere, that the children of this marriage will not be able to serve as kohanim. They're disqualified for guda because they come from a chalutza. So again, even though chalutza is a psul kuna midrabbanan, but nevertheless midrabbanan, the children of this marriage are not barred from serving as kohanim. Talk about a little bit about the mitzvah of pigeon aben. There are those poskim who want to prove that the status of Kohanim today are Vadai Kohanim from the din of Pidgin HaBen, and they bring two proofs. Number one, from the fact that if Kohanim were only Suffolk, then we'd have no way of really fulfilling the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen in our time, with the Kohanim of contemporary time. And secondly, maybe the Kohanim themselves should be poder their own children because they don't know if they're Kohanim. And we never found that the Kohanim themselves are poder themselves. So you take a look in the Piskei Tshuvin, Yoredei Siman Shin Hei, he brings down a Chiddush of the Yavetz, whose name was Rav Yaakov Emden. And he writes, Me'acher ubiyomenu ha-Kohanim einam ela safek Kohanim. So he takes his concept of safek Kohanim to its very, very extreme conclusion. But Aroi, Shaliachar ha-Pijon, Yachziru li'ov es ha-Kesef ha-Pijon. The Kohanim have to return. I mean, maybe we won't be able to compel them, as you mentioned before, because Amotzi Mechavel of Araya now, they have a Tfisa. But strictly speaking, it's appropriate for the Kohanim to return the money of the Pidgin. Shema Einam Kohanim, because they have to treat themselves as Suffolk, and they may have Gzela Biyada. Nobody wants to run around with Gzela Biyada, or even Suffolk Gzela. And so too, a father should be pulled to his Bechar, from any Kohen that he meets for the rest of his life. And we said before that that's what the Gaon did. Maybe he'll find a Kohen who actually is Miyuchas. But the truth is that no one is knowing like the Yavetz. No one forces the Kohenim or expects the Kohenim in Aroi to return the money of Pidgin HaBen. And most poskim would not say that that you have to run around trying to be podi yourself every time you meet a Kohen. And the Gilyan Marashov, Rav Shlomo Eger, writes in Yoredei Siman Shin Hei that even if there is some level of suffolk with regard to the yichus of the Kohanim, they don't have to return the money, strictly speaking. Why? The midaite nosein, because the Yisrael, the father of the Bchar, gives it midas. He has full agreement to give it to him. He wants to make sure that, you know, he could be yotzei a suffolk, that maybe he met a Kohen. And therefore, there's no chashash gzela. No, because the father says Rav Shlomo Eger knows that this Kohen is a Suffolk Kohen. Therefore, if he gives the money b'chol zot based on that Suffolk, he's giving it to him as an absolute gift, and there's no issue of gzela at all. He gave biyadia brura. And with regard to Pidgin of our firstborn, we do what we can do. We're somech on the cheskas kuhun of our time, and that's the maximum that we have to do. In other words, the Yavetz went way too far, according to the poskim, by requiring that we run around looking for a Kohen at every opportune moment. Maybe he's the right the real thing. You know, the real Kohen. And the tshuva of the Shevet HaLevi, of Rav Ozna, Zichron Levracha, he's machriya from the sugyas in Pidgin HaBen that the main halacha and the primary, let's say, thrust of the halacha in our time is that we assume that Kohanim in our time are to be treated as Vadei Kohanim. He also is very hesitant to take the Yavetz and accept that. And he finishes his whole presentation by saying that sugya the alma de lo kavase, the basic interpretation of the sugyas, is not like the Yavetz, and therefore kasha ramas al ze marnach sam sofi yoredei sof simon reish sadi aleph. And he refers here to the sam sofer as the support for the fact that that we don't accept the Yavetz, we treat the Kohanim Bizman Azeh as if they were Vadei Kohanim. And therefore, as we saw earlier when we discussed the Magen Avraham, it's not commonly, we don't accept, shall we say, we don't verify and validate any sort of a common custom to be lax about giving Kohanim due honor. We should be very careful, and that's what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah Lechatchila. We have to be careful about honoring the Kohen, because that is a mitzvah. And the last thing I wanted to fit in here, if we have another 5 minutes, is a discussion about Birchas Kohanim in our time. And that is, how do we treat the Kohanim in our time? According to this entire school of Poskim, then our Kohanim are not Vadai Poskim, they're Vadai Kohanim, they're only Safek Kohanim. How do we allow, how do we authorize the Kohanim to be Olo Duchen in our time? The Gemara in Ksubas tells us, on Dafkav Dalet Amid Beis, that a Zar, Hanosei Es Kapov, Over Be Yisra Asei, Shenem Arkosev Varchu, Atem Velo Zorim, Velav Habo Mechal Esei, is an essay. So in other words, there's a real Doraisa problem if Kohanim Anosim Es Kapehem. Again, we'll talk about whether Bizman HaZeh, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, is Doraisa or not. But the question that we want to raise over here is, in the light of these severe, serious Isurim about a non-Kohen Azar being Duchen, Olu Duchen, how do we allow our Kohanim in a Suffolk situation, we don't know their Kohanim, to Duchen? And not only that, they recite a bracha on Birchas Kohanim, Shekinshanu Tzosu V'Ksvonu V'Kdushasu Shal Aaron. How could they say that bracha when there's a chashash of a bracha levatola, something bracha tzahakil? We don't even know if they're being Mekayim the mitzvah Birchas Kohanim. We don't even know if they're Kohanim. So there's a tshuva called the Beis Ephraim, and he writes that mitam ze einanu noagim lekayim birchas kohanim b'chol yom b'chutzah. It's a new insight as to why they pushed off and very severely limited birchas kohanim b'chutzlaretz. That's for Ashkenazic Jews, because of this assumption that we don't know for sure they're kohanim. And there's, you know, again, on Yom Tov we do have duchen in chutzlaretz. I don't know exactly how the Beis Ephraim is going to get away with that. In Eretz Yisrael, he says that the kohanim are duchenin on a daily basis, and l'chora that would be proof that our kohanim bizman hazeh are vaday kohanim, and that would also seem to undermine the position of the Beis Ephraim, namely that kohanim bizmanenu are not safek kohanim but rather vaday kohanim, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael they weren't choshesh. It would be interesting to present a thesis according to the Beis Ephraim, this is pretty wild, that the different minhagim, namely the daily minhag of Birchas Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, whereas the very infrequent Duchenin in Chutz Laretz, is really based on these two premises, these two definitions, or these two opinions and approaches as to what the status of Kohanim is Bizman HaZeh. Now we mentioned the Tshuvas of the Shvus Yaakov, and he writes that Efshal Lomer di Af b'Safek Kohen Gomer Muto Lisa Kapov Levarich. Even if you have a Safek Kohen, you're allowed, you can permit that Safek Kohen to duchen even with a bracha. Even though the din of a Zar Shenosa Kapov is over b'Esei, but nevertheless, the Kohen is not Nosei Es Kapov B'toras Vadai. The Kohen is doing it because the mitzvah saseh of Birchas Kohanim appears three times in the Torah. So he really wants to be Mekayim on the tzad that he's a Kohen, those three mitzvahs. So the Chachamim said that even though he's a Safek, we advocate that he should be Nosei Es Kapov B'toras Safek, because we want him to, on the tzad that he's a Kohen, to be Mekayim all these three mitzvahs saseh. And came mid Rabbanan Nosei Kapov Shapir Mevarech. Once the Rabbanan made that decision, that weighing the benefits and the deficits here, and on the balance sheet, it comes out that the Kohen should be Nosei Es Kapov. Therefore, he's going to make a bracha because the Chacham or Mechayev the Kohenim even today to be Nosei Es Kapayim and to be Mevarech on that, because they don't want to forfeit the possibility of the Kohen losing three mitzvahs asay. The Pischei Tshuva went a step further. He says that Ikar Isur Zar Lalos Leduchen Nemar Dafka B'Migdash B'Brocha B'Shem HaMeforash. Our Birchas Kohanim today is not identical, doesn't reflect and resemble that of the Migdash, because we don't recite we don't enunciate the Shem HaMeforash. And the Isur in terms of a Zar is limited to a Brocha B'Shem HaMeforash. Now, the truth of the matter is that this opinion quoted by the Pischei Tshuva is really, although it's a great chiddush, is not mentioned in any of the other poskim. Apparently, all the other poskim assume that the iser for a zar to be Nosei Es Kapov applies even to a bracha, birchas kohanim, without without mentioning the shame Hamaforosh. So let's just sort of give a little bit of an overview to some of the points that we touched upon. We spoke about the Cheskas Kohenim, Kohenim Muchzakim in our time. What does it mean? Do we view them as the Mabit would insist, and the Marit and others as a Kohen Vadai? Or should we view them as the Shach and the Marshal, the Magen Avram would define them as Kohenei Safek? According to the Marshal and the Shach, if, and many other poskim, if we deal and define the Kohenim today as Safek Kohenim, then we're going to be very hesitant and very inhibited about giving truma, giving even chalas chutzlaretz to a kohen, even if he's a katan or he was tovel lekerio. We know that he removed the issue of tum v'tara, but nevertheless, we don't even know he's a kohen. And that minog evolved not to give chala, even a chutzlaretz, and even to a katan, to any so-called kohen. According to the Mabit and the Marit and other poskim, they have the Kohenim today have a status of Kohen Vadai, and therefore would be much more inclined, as we saw in some poskim, to give Chalas Chutzlaretz at least to the Kohenim who are Tahorim. And certainly in the light of the position of the Mabit and the Marit and others, we should be very careful about the mitzvah of Vekidashto. And we saw that this whole discussion is very relevant to the case of a Kohen who went ahead and married a Chalutza. Can we apply the principle of Safek Kohenim and add that to the Issa Drabbanim in the case of Chalutza and say Safek Drabbanim Lekula? And as we said before, this is a very complicated issue with many, many different ramifications in Halacha. And it's a bit complicated, you know, to come to any halacha l'maisa conclusion. And therefore, in cases of doubt, we really want to turn to a mumcha in this area, to an expert. And all that's left now at the end of this year is to raise a tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that with all that's happening today, we need the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash Mehera, really speedily in our time, and then Techzena Inenu, our eyes will see the Chidush, the reinstatement of the Avodas HaKohanim, together with Levi and Beshira, Yisrael B'Mamodom, and when that takes place, when that reality happens, then all the laws and all these parashas that we're reading about the Mishkan and the Avodas HaKohuna and the Mikdash all come back full swing to be practical and real, and at that point we'll be able to clarify exactly who the Kohanim Miuchasim are, and we can get back to the Avodah and to Pidgin HaBen the way it was meant to be, to Berchas Kohanim the way it was meant to be, and that should happen and become a reality speedily in our times. Divheira ki Amenu Amen.